We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
All systems are go.
Ladies and gentlemen, Chris Van
Vliet! So good to see you, my friends. Welcome back to another audio adventure here on Insight. I'm CVV, Chris Van Vliet, and if there was ever a perfect time to have Drew McIntyre on the show, I feel like this would be it. Tickets just went on sale for WrestleMania 39 at SoFi Stadium in Los Angeles. Clash at the Castle is just a few weeks away, and it's the first major stadium show in the UK since SummerSlam 1992. Yeah, 30 years ago. And Drew's story is such an interesting one. We get into it quite a bit here, but if you rewind back to 2014, he was part of 3MB with Heath Slater and Jinder Mahal, and then he got released. And then he went on to reinvent himself into the Drew McIntyre that we know and we see today. And he's an absolute beast. And as you'll see in this conversation, he's a heck of a nice guy too. If you could, please leave a rating on Spotify or a review on Apple Podcasts. It really, really helps the show grow. And do me a solid and take a screenshot of this episode. Tag us on social media so we know you're listening, and tag us so we can share it as well. How cool would that be to get a retweet from Drew McIntyre? He's at D McIntyre WWE. I'm at Chris Van Vliet. And here we go. It's me and Drew McIntyre. I've wanted to do this for so long. So, Drew, thank you so much for taking the time to do this.
No, thank you very much for having me. I feel like we've done this many times. I've spoke to a lot of people multiple times, but I guess I've just seen multiple interviews you've conducted. So yeah, let's do this thing right.
Well, this is our first. Yeah, I was just at WrestleMania a few months ago, and I can't believe we're already talking about WrestleMania tickets being on sale for next year.
It's wild. It's wild. But the machine never stops. WWE, 52 weeks a year, no reruns, no off seasons, and it all peaks at WrestleMania. And even though we just finished WrestleMania up not too long ago, and I'm still in a high from it. The AT&T Stadium was unbelievable. The crowd were unbelievable. Managed to cut those top two ropes. Maybe it was only supposed to be one rope, but it could have been a disaster, and I could have cut no ropes. Everyone seems to think the ropes were like rigged, that were going to split apart on command. They weren't. It was real ropes. It was a sword. It was extremely sharp, and I had to hit it perfect, and thank God it worked out in the end. So next year, I'm looking to make a big, big moment when WrestleMania once again goes Hollywood.
I feel like when you walk around with that sword, like, people must be terrified because that thing does seem like super sharp.
It is super sharp. I don't know if I could technically take it into battle if I was, living back in the old Scottish days. If I was side by side with William Wallace, it might, end up getting bent, as we saw one time where I swung it too hard. And, it technically had a bend in it, but it is extremely sharp. It does do some damage. And I try to reiterate that whenever I can, when fans are reaching out to slap hands with me, but they're not just reaching for my hand. They're reaching to touch the sword. And I'm like, did you see what happened at Mania? Did you see when I cut the rope with Sheamus? I want to show you this thing is sharp for real, and you're going to lose a finger.
So we're about the same age. So I'm so curious, for you growing up, what was the WrestleMania match, the WrestleMania moment that you just loved?
It was countless for me. Like yourself, I was completely obsessed, watched everything I could get my hands on. And WrestleMania was such an important event every single year for my brother and I to stay awake till 1-2 o'clock in the morning on a school night, and be very tired at school the next day. It was always, you know, a very big event for us. And some of the big memories as a kid for me, as a Bret Hart fan, as soon as Bret was on the losing side of a really big one, one of my earliest memories with Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels, WrestleMania 12. One of my good friends at school was a Shawn guy. I was a Bret guy. The next day, he kind of rubbed it in about the result, and I might have beat him up at school because of it. Bret Hart, Stone Cold Steve Austin, an incredible match, one of the best matches of all time from a storyline, a storytelling perspective, physicality perspective, and the double turn at the end, just unbelievable. I remember how much I loved the theatrics, WrestleMania 14 of Undertaker Kane, the first match, the build, you know, Taker's entrance, just Kane's presentation and story overall, and just these two monsters going at it. And I could go on and on and on, but just off the top of my head, these are the three that just popped right in there.
Three pretty great ones. You know, when people talk about WrestleMania moments, a lot of people go, man, WrestleMania 36, I wish Drew could have got his WrestleMania moment in front of the crowd. Do you feel like it was still a WrestleMania moment for you?
It was for sure. And people will remember the WrestleMania when the world stood still. Sadly, they're probably not going to be in a hurry to watch it back on the network and Peacock. But they're going to remember it. That was such a scary time for the world. We had a lot of questions. We had a lot of fear going on. And WWE pushed ahead and gave the world that escape. And as upset and angry as I was initially, once I understood the gravity of the situation, I was very proud of WWE for putting on WrestleMania over 2 days for the first time ever. But more specifically, myself being in the main event, my first ever title match, this feel-good story going in. And I knew, you know, me winning the title could make a lot of people happy, which it did. You know, the social media interaction was up 60% from the year prior. There was just unbelievable viewing numbers for that. And it did take people's mind off what was going on in the world during that time. So I am very proud of it. At the same time, I was still looking for that big moment with the live audience, winning that title because I'm a two-time WWE champion, but I've not held the title in front of live fans, which I don't think anyone can claim. And as proud as I am of that, I won that title in front of fans.
Well, I mean, maybe it's a Clash of the Castle. Like, maybe that's the big moment, like in front of fans. How proud are you that WWE is going back to the UK for the first big show in front of a huge crowd for the first time in 30 years?
This is when I say, like, you know, I dreamt of moments when I was a kid. I dreamt of main eventing, you know, WrestleMania. I dreamt of all these big moments that seemed attainable, that in my mind were attainable. Nobody else believed I could do it coming from Scotland WWE. But the idea of main eventing a UK stadium show, the level of SummerSlam 92, didn't seem possible because they didn't run UK stadium shows. This is something I actively talked about, actively pursued, actively asked questions about for years, especially when I became WWE champion. And I had a lot more media going on at the time, especially high-profile media, and I mentioned it all the freaking time. And thankfully, I guess there were some talks going on within, you know, behind closed doors that I didn't know about. And it got to the point, I'd been talking about it so much, somebody had to say to me, do you know something you shouldn't know? I was like, nope, I know nothing. I've just got certain goals that I've been pushing for a while. So you do what you're doing, I'm doing what I'm doing. Hopefully it'll work out. And thankfully, you know, it worked out. I got involved in the process eventually, and it's happening now, and I'm so proud of it. I'd love to take the whole credit for it, but it's the unsung heroes behind closed doors that work at WWE that make these things happen. Just the problem would have been if it did happen and nobody cared and nobody bought tickets. I kind of need a public scapegoat, and the fans would go, McIntyre, you were wrong, you idiot. And the blame would fall here. So I'm very glad that it worked out, and even happier, proud, don't have the word, that I'm main eventing and fighting for the title in that first UK stadium show in 30 years.
If this goes well, do you think we might see WrestleMania in the UK some point soon?
I can't see why not. I mean, I'm not going to talk about numbers that I've heard at the moment until they're official, but we've seen the numbers that have been released. Just the demand for the tickets broke records initially. And right now we're on course for some big, big numbers from a business perspective. But for people watching, for the fan tuning in to watch the Clash of the Castle, and you see the live audience and just how loud and rowdy and crazy they are with the chants that we've seen in the past on Raw and SmackDown. You know, I've came from the UK. Like, I think I know a lot of people are going to go, why on earth don't we do WrestleMania there? Imagine how crazy it's going to be having not just those wild UK fans, but people come from all across the world and joining in the atmosphere, the passion, and the insanity of the UK fans.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you talk to your friends and your family back home now, do they go, Drew, what happened? You sound like you have an American accent now, or you've lost your accent.
Do you hear?
Of course, I hear. Yeah, I mean, you sound Scottish, but
yes, like everyone else on earth. Yeah, everyone else on earth. Like I'm sure you've talked to people with thicker Scottish accents in the past, or heard what Scotland tend to say when I talk.
I've been there. I was like, pardon me.
Exactly. Every single person in Scotland has the thickest accent on planet Earth, even though we only talk English. And people have said to me multiple times, especially when I first moved here, you speak really good English. I was like, freaking hope so. It's the only language I talk. But we have these extremely thick accents. Like we mumble, most of us. We use a lot of slang. And I had to really work on it to the point where Vincent Mann told me when I was 24, you know, we're going to have to get you elocution lessons, Drew, after I gave him this passionate speech about my ideas and what I want to do for the company. And that was the retort. I think we're going to have to get you elocution lessons. So I worked on it. I, you know, spent a lot of time learning to slow down, especially the time away from WWE, you know, how to make myself understood in these kind of interviews on the microphone, get comfortable in those situations because I know how important it is. And when I finally honed it, when I finally felt good about myself, when the whole world was saying that, man, you know, Drew's a very confident talker. He's really improved that area of his game. I had Scotland to bring me back down to earth and say, why are you talking like that? Why are you not talking like this now? That's why. Understand us. I'm so proud to be from Scotland, but nobody understands us. So I have to soften the accent, make it a little less harsh.
I feel like the Drew McIntyre that's sitting in front of me right now is like a very different man than the one who left WWE in 2014. What was the like first step in the reinvention process to get to where you're at now?
Ooh, there's a lot of steps. Thankfully, I have a book available, Chosen Destiny, that you can check out. It's got all the details. But step one, as my wife reminded me, you know, wasn't just, I'm going to take over the wrestling world outside of WWE and redefine what it means to be an independent wrestler. I'd like to say that, and I did say that, but my wife reminded me, no, you were full of anxiety, fear, uncertainty. You've been in 3MB for a long time, so you hadn't had any significant matches or significant interviews. I really never had significant interviews because I always read from the script line by line, never put myself into. So I was very nervous, but I did believe this is what I was meant to do. I did believe I had something to give. I did believe I could go out there and make a name for myself and really reinvent Drew McIntyre, Drew Galloway. And right away, I knew I had to go back to Scotland to get my mission statement out to Insane Championship Wrestling, ICW, where all my friends were that I started with. But business was on the, you know, the upswing in the UK. They were doing amazing. They had their biggest show of the year at 1,500 people there. It was 3 weeks after I got released. And I told the promoter, Mark Dallas, you know, everyone's contacting me. You haven't contacted me. Why is that? So I thought my friend would be upset he was fired. So I should give him a moment before I start trying to book him in a wrestling show. That's not real life. Because I appreciate that, but I want to be on the show in 3 weeks, but I want to keep it a secret. So, you know, he started out the travel. We kept it a secret between about three people. I showed up in Scotland and a famous clip online. If you've not seen it, check out Drew Galloway Returns to ICW. I spoke for 20 full minutes, unscripted, just said everything I was feeling at the time. And it got such an insane response afterwards. It felt so good to get it out. It felt so good to be myself. I said some bold comments in there. You know, I'm going to show you the real Drew Galloway. I'm going to take over this world as far as I'm concerned. And I'm going to put ICW on the map. This little company is going to help take over the world. A lot of people watched and went, oh my God, look at this guy. This is incredible. He's going to do such big things, including Mick Foley, who went on Stone Cold's podcast and talked about me, text Triple H and said, you have to keep an eye on Drew. Then there was the other people who had watched me in 3MB and said, this 3MB guy's out of his mind. Sick of his stuff. He's not going to do anything. But that was phase one. And then I literally looked myself in the mirror and said, it was a tough few years, these last few years in WWE, professionally, but especially personally. In the end, it's on you for not, you know, getting the help you needed personally, but also working as hard as you could professionally. You'd have been happy to be the water boy at one point. You forgot, you know, why you came here. You lost perspective. Never let that happen again. And I worked as hard as I could. Left no stone unturned. My saying now is be accountable to one person and one person only, social media. Don't listen to freaking social media ever. Everyone out there, chief, please don't listen to the person in the mirror. That's the only person you answer to, and that is the only person I did answer to. Yeah. Aside, you know, the wife, because I still had areas I had to improve upon. You know, the partying wasn't gone yet. I was still burning the candle at both ends, but I took every booking I could. I got as good as I could. Was lucky enough that people believed in me, gave me a platform to apply my craft, to learn to become a leader, to get confident in the microphone, confident in the ring, and built myself into a place where I was ready. The guy who was faking it in the beginning till he made it, everyone else believed in, finally believed in himself, finally became what Vince had saw all those years ago, Triple H saw all those years ago, and I finally became, you know, the real Drew that I could be. Once, I'm talking about professionally, once I broke my neck that one time, you might have heard about, I had to sit at home for 8 weeks for the first time in my life. I had to come to Jesus talk with the wife, and we talked about the partying and going out and how I'm giving it my all, but I'm not giving it my all. And I finally said to her, you know what, you're right. As successful as I am right now, my brother referred to me as a verb to do a Drew, leave WWE and become more successful, which was very cool. I still had a ways to go. I looked in the mirror, looked at my body and said, you can step in the ring with Brock Lesnar right now, the biggest attraction at the time. And people would look at that image and go, he can beat Brock. You got to work on the body. You got to cut out the negative stuff. So I cut out the partying that I was doing all the time. Within a few months of changing my diet up, my training up, my body changed dramatically. And then I saw myself in the mirror and went, that's the guy who's ready to take on the world. I figured it would be Japan. But I took a conversation, a phone call with Triple H, and after that phone call, I knew it was time to go back to WWE.
And look at you now. That's an amazing story, by the way. As we wrap this up.
Sometimes I talk.
I wish we had an hour. That'd be amazing. We were all very surprised to see Karrion Kross on SmackDown. How surprised were you to see him?
I was very surprised to see him. I didn't know till the very last second that for, you know, we can say a little more here than we say in general, but let's just say somebody who's worked hard for an opportunity deserves that opportunity and is getting the biggest opportunity of his career. Fortunately for him, it's not going to come at Drew McIntyre's expense.
Drew, such a pleasure to talk with you. I'm so glad we could make this happen, and congratulations on everything.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm glad this is phase one, but we'll get one of the long form interviews eventually, and you'll be like, man, this was my first ever 4-hour interview. When I let Drew go, he just goes and goes and goes. It's kind of
it'll be like WrestleMania. It'll be a 2-day event.
It'll have to be a 2-day event, but like no break in between. It'll be like the former WrestleMania of 7 hours, but 14 hours in total.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, buddy. I appreciate it. And I'll see you all at WrestleMania SoFi. That's what we're talking about today. Tickets are on sale now.
There we go. Drew McIntyre. What a guy. And you heard him. Our next interview together is going to break the record for the longest episode of Inside ever, which I think that record right now belongs to Austin Aries and the interview that we did, at the end of 2019. That's almost 3 years ago. What do you think? Should we do another Austin Aries episode? Is that, would you guys want to see that? Big thank you to Drew for joining us. Of course, we couldn't do this without you. So thank you for being with us on this audio adventure, wherever you are, whatever you're doing right now, driving to work, maybe you're at work, you're doing cardio, you're walking the dog, you're cooking, whatever it is. Thank you. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please take a second to do that today. And if you're feeling extra generous, leave a rating or review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify if you happen to be listening on there. We talked about reinvention during this episode, and I love his story so much. George Eliot said it best. It's never too late to be what you might have been. Be great and be grateful. We'll see you on the next one for some more insight.